A lot of events this past week that have really shaken us and made us realize just how we never know what's going to happen. The fertilizer plant that exploded in West Texas, found out that that was owned by an elder in the Lord's church, even that the preacher's home there was destroyed in that blast. So it affects not only fellow Americans, but members of the body of Christ. Let's continue to pray for them. And the Boston bombings. And it seems that out of every tragedy, some heroes emerge. And I want to highlight one for you. And that is Carlos Hernandez. I wrote a Living Water article about him, but he's the cowboy hat hero. I'm sure you've seen this picture. I cut out part of it because it didn't think it was good to look at, but he was a responder, a quick responder to people who were hurting right after those bombs went off at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. And you begin to, as you read about his story, you ask, why would he do that? Well, he was Red Cross trained, so he was trained in some ways to respond to emergencies. But perhaps the loss of both of his sons, one in Iraq and another that he says died from grief, committed suicide from the grief of losing his brother. And perhaps it was that loss in his own life that he was quick to respond to the needs of others, not wanting to see any more loss. Whatever the motivation may have been, he still stands as a hero, the cowboy hat wearing hero. But he also illustrates and reminds us that love is kind. Love is kind. What is kindness? I like this simple definition. Kindness is love in action. And here Carlos was active in reaching out and was demonstrating this kind of love and being kind and ministering to those who were in shock and who had incurred some terrible loss. But the Bible says over and over that love is kindness in action. And I want to remind us, I want to study again a very, very familiar parable with you. One of Jesus' parables. We call it the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you know it so well, about three men who are traveling down the same road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and they come upon a crime scene. And those three men represent three choices that we all make when it comes to seeing a person in need. Three choices that we make. The first choice we might call the keep my distance choice. You'll remember that was the choice of the priest. Notice with me Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 30. Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, passed by on the other side." This is the lifestyle of avoidance, keeping your distance. Don't get too close. It's a choice to remain uninvolved. And it's a choice that many people make today. Keep people at arm's length, because if you get too close, you might get involved. And if you get involved, you might get hurt. The keep my distance choice. The second is what we can call the curious but uninvolved choice. This is the Levite. Likewise, a Levite, Jesus says, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. And there seems to be a little difference here between the Levite and the priest. Both of them associated with the law of Moses. The priest and the Levite being a temple minister. But he, Jesus says, comes and looks and then passes by on the other side. Perhaps he takes a closer look than did the priest. But still, when he sees this man who's been harmed and beaten half dead. He looks at him, but he too passes by on the other side. Curious, but uninvolved. Kind of reminds me, driving down the interstate, you've seen it. You see flashing lights up ahead, and you say, oh no, there's been a wreck. And the traffic is backed up, but both lanes may still be open, but the traffic is backed up. Not only because of cautionary reasons, but I'm afraid many times it's people just wanting to see, just looking. But that can remind us of how we see a need. We're curious. We want to know what has happened, but we keep on going. Curious, but uninvolved. And then the third response, the response of the Good Samaritan. Remember, this is in answer to the question that the lawyer has asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus is telling the story to answer that question. And it's this Good Samaritan, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Which one of these three proved to be neighbor to him who was in need? The lawyer had to answer, he who showed mercy. Jesus answered, go and do likewise. The let me help choice. He saw the need. He saw a need that he might help answer. He might help ease this burden. And so he went to him and helped him. He made the choice of let me help. Still want to highlight four things that the Good Samaritan did that we need to do so that we can love others with God's kind of love. Remembering that love is kind. Four lessons from the Good Samaritan. How do we put love in action with kindness? Number one, see the needs of people around you. See the needs of people around you. Kindness always begins with the eyes, with the way that we look, how observant we are. If you're not aware of needs, you can't care about those needs. So we have to see those needs first. Notice again in verse 33 of Luke 10, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he observed this man in need, and then responded to it. We must expand our vision. We must become more observant of the needs of those around us. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. And that word seek, there's the word see. In order to seek the good of others, in order to help others in time of need, we have to be observant. We have to see their need. So we need to be asking God to give us a sensitive radar, if you will, to be on the lookout for people in need around us who are hurting in some way, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Ask God to help us to be sensitive to those kind of needs. Just as so many of you are already. You're able to read facial expressions. You're able to hear what a person says. And it may not be the words, but how they say it. And you just have a keen sense of knowing when somebody is struggling with something. But so many times, we get busy. We get distracted. We don't see as we should. If you care, you'll seek to be aware. Kindness starts with sensitivity. Kindness starts in the eyes. See the needs of people around you. Number two, sympathize with people's pain. It's not enough just to see those needs, but we need to have sympathy for people in their need. Sympathize with their pain. Notice the Good Samaritan. When he saw him, he had compassion. He saw him. He saw the need. But then he sympathized with that need. He had compassion. His eyes were observant, but then his heart kicked in. He was filled with compassion. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Share in their sorrow. Enter into their emotion. Feel what they feel. If sensitivity begins with your eyes, if kindness begins with your eyes, sympathy often begins with your ears. Sympathy often begins with your ears. That we learn to listen. And sometimes just listening is a wonderful expression of kindness. Someone wrote this poem. When I ask you to listen to me and you start giving me advice, you've not done what I asked. When I ask you to listen to me and you begin telling me why I shouldn't feel that way, you're trampling on my feelings. When I ask you to listen to me and you feel you have to do something to solve my problems, you have failed me. Strange as that may seem, listen. All I ask is that you just listen, not talk nor do. Just hear me. Just hear me. Folks, when we express love through kindness, when we see the needs around us, but we also listen carefully. Joe Bailey wrote a book on grief entitled A View from the Hearse. And I want you to notice an experience that he writes from experience. He said, I was sitting torn by grief, and somebody came along and talked to me about God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things I knew were true, but I was unmoved except to wish that he would go away. And he finally did. Then another one came and sat beside me, and he didn't talk at all. He didn't ask me any leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more, listened when I said something, answered briefly, prayed simply, and left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go. Both well-intentioned. Both wanting to say and or do the right thing. Some folks, sometimes the right thing is just to listen. Not to try to offer an explanation. But to listen. To feel with. Sympathize. But then thirdly, to seize the moment. To see the need, to sympathize with those who are hurting, but then to seize the moment to help. Seize the moment to be kind. Don't wait, don't delay, don't procrastinate. I'm convicted by this. I've been working on this lesson all week. Thursday morning, I was headed down the road, headed to Mobile Christian for a function that I do every Thursday morning. And there was a time frame. And I was on Gree Lot, came to Cody Road, and then at the stoplight that I stopped at, I noticed there was a car, and a young lady, perhaps a student, got out of her car, and I saw no lights, nothing, and so I assumed her car has died. And she's on the phone, she's in tears. David, why didn't you stop and do something? I rationalize. She's on the phone. Help is coming, I'm sure. I could have stopped. I should have seized that moment, at least to offer some help. Because, folks, those opportunities are around us all the time. If we'll just be looking for them and see some way we can help. I could have always called some of you to help me push that car out of the way or something like that. But seize the moment. Notice that Samaritan, when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him. Don't miss that. He went to him. It wasn't this keep my distance. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get my hands dirty. It wasn't this curious what happened here, but still staying uninvolved. It was he went to him. He entered into that man's pain. He took on part of that man's problem as his own. He was seeking to help bear that man's burden. And our Bible teaches us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Seize the moment. I love this old Quaker prayer. I expect to pass this way but once. If therefore there be any kindness I can show or any good I can do for my fellow human beings, let me do it now. Let me not defer it nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Seize the moment. And then fourthly, serve the needs of others. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, which means he had to walk, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The Samaritan took action. Love is something you do. He didn't just say, I feel so sorry for this guy. I sure hope help will come soon. He actually did something. He took what he had and offered and did help. As we think about the Good Samaritan and demonstrating love and kindness, notice these two lessons as well. That to be kind, we must be willing to be interrupted. There are many ways you can describe life. I want to try this one on you. Life is a series of interruptions. Life is a series of interruptions. Things that you didn't anticipate. You didn't think you're going to get sick this week. You didn't think you're going to be involved in this accident. You didn't think this or that might happen, but I didn't ask for this. But life is a series of interruptions. You're going to be interrupted with opportunities to serve. Just like that opportunity I had this past Thursday morning. That was an interruption. I had something on my mind that I felt like needed to be done. And it wouldn't have taken long at least to offer. And if I'm going to be kind, if we're going to be kind, we need to be able to be interrupted. Have you figured it out that love is often inconvenient? Have you figured it out that kindness takes time? We can offer the same excuses that I'm imagining the priest and the Levite could offer on this occasion in Jesus' story. They got the Lord's business to take care of. How many excuses have we offered? You must be willing to be interrupted. Number two, you must be willing to take risks. What fears do you suppose the priest and the Levite had and the Good Samaritan had to overcome? What about this? What if the robbers are still here? You think that entered their minds? What if they're lingering in the shadows and they're just waiting for somebody to come by and help and they'll rob them too? What if it's a trap? Or what if this man rejects my help? After all, I'm a Samaritan and he is just a certain man, but let's assume he's a Jew. And Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And so what if that guy's a Jew and he doesn't want any help from a Samaritan? Then I'll feel rejected. What if his needs are so great I really can't help him? You get the idea. There could have been a lot of fears that were there and that had to be overcome. Serving others in their times of need will mean we'll have to overcome such fears and reach out to others. This is what the Good Samaritan did. And he went the extra mile. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. He did all that he could to take care of a total stranger. Let me ask you this. What did the Good Samaritan have to gain from this experience? What did he have to gain? Jesus is telling the story that to make the point, and he makes it beautifully. But as we examine the story more closely, what did the Good Samaritan, if this were a true experience, what did he have to gain? Nothing, really, except the satisfaction of helping someone in need. I love this quote. Kindness is when you do something for somebody without expecting anything in return. That's kindness. You don't have anything to gain by it, except to know that God is pleased and that you're seeking to help someone. For homework, I want to ask you to watch, to open your eyes and ask God to help open your eyes and watch for an opportunity or opportunities this week to help someone in need. You're going to have to be observant. You're going to have to be willing to feel with that person. And you're going to have to be willing to seize that moment when it arises and actually serve, not expecting anything in return. Do it anonymously, but seize that opportunity to demonstrate love by being kind. Luke 6:35, Jesus says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil." So why be kind? Why should I be kind if people aren't going to repay me? I should be kind because God has been kind to me. Titus 3. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness," there's our word, "but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Why should we be kind? Because God's been so kind to us. He saved us not because we deserved it, but because we needed it desperately. He gave His Son to die for our sins, to pay that price that we could never pay, so that we can be saved through Him. And in response, we honor God when we express our love for Him by loving other people through kindness. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Perhaps this morning you want to respond to the kindness and mercy of God, the love of God, by surrendering your life in obedience to His will, to obey the gospel even this morning. Hope and pray that you'll do just that. We all hope and pray that we will be those good Samaritans, that we will be those first responders, if you will, that we'll see the needs of those around us, that we'll feel with, sympathize with people, that we'll seize the moment to serve and glorify God in so doing. May that be the application we take home with us. Let's walk more closely in the steps of Jesus. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, please do so right now as we stand and sing.